So I want to thank everybody for coming to this session and everyone for doing such an excellent job this morning with your sitting. People, I can see everybody on the screen. In fact, I can see everybody better than in the Zendo because you know how the Zendo is organized. Some people over there could be asleep. I wouldn't know, but I see everybody here. So it's very effective way of seeing how people are doing. And I could see that everybody was doing a wonderful job. People were sitting very still. And that kind of deep practice is unusual and very precious. And I thank you for making an excellent effort. And today's Teisho will be on case 86 in the Book of Serenity. Case 86 is entitled Lin Ji's Great Enlightenment. Introduction. Even with a head of bronze, a forehead of iron, the eyes of a god, the pupils of a dragon, the beak of an eagle, the jowls of a fish, the heart of a bear, and the guts of a leopard, under the diamond swords, planning isn't admitted. You can't manage a single stratagem. Why is this so? Lin Ji asked Wang Bo, what is the essential great meaning of it? Wang Bo immediately hit him. This happened three times. Then Lin Ji left Wang Bo and visited Dai Yu. Dai Yu asked, where do you come from? Lin Ji said, from Wang Bo. Dai Yu said, what did Wang Bo say? Lin Ji said, three times I asked about the truly essential great meaning of Buddhist teaching, and three times I was beaten with a stick. I do not know if I had any fault or not. Dai Yu said, Wang Bo was so kind. He did his utmost for you. And still, you come and ask if there was any fault or not. Lin Ji was greatly enlightened at these words. Verse: a nine-colored phoenix, a thousand-mild colt, the wind of reality crosses the pipes, the spiritual word goes into action. Coming on directly, the flying lightning is swift. When the clouds of illusion break, the sun is alone. He grabs the tiger's whiskers. Do you see or not? This is a brave and powerful person of stature. This is a wonderful koan and most appropriate for this for the first day of and most appropriate for our time. I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday, and he's a very sensitive person. He's an artist and a writer and an editor. And he's sort of a very gentle person. And I was talking to him, and he said, I'm having such a hard time dealing with everything that's happening. He said, I start working on my he's working on a writing project. And he said he starts in on it, and he said my mind begins to drift to the COVID fatalities, the attack on the Capitol, and so on and so on, right? The anti-maskers, the anti-vaxxers, all of this stuff. And he said, and he can't, then he finds. He says, then I find like hours have gone by, and I can't, basically, he said, I can't free myself from this. And I think that's a fascinating dynamic. I think that's really a fascinating dynamic. When I was a kid, I remember one summer I went hiking with the Boy Scouts. And I was with a group of scouts who went into a concession store. It was like a big park outside of Washington, D.C., up in the beautiful Shenandoah Mountains. And I went in with this group of Boy Scouts, and they were all 10 or 11 or 9. And the older Boy Scouts decided to steal some candy and some Cokes out of the concession store. So I was pretty young. I think I was one of the younger scouts, and I didn't know what to make of this. They were older boys. One of them was like a first-class scout or a second-class scout, and I was just a beginner. And I sort of looked up to the older boys, but on the other hand, I sort of knew that what they were doing was wrong, And they were entering their teenage years, and I think they wanted to break some rules. I think they wanted to break a few rules and push back against the adult world. So anyway, they stole a bunch of candy and they stole a bunch of Cokes out of the store, and they got out. But I was left behind as they exited, and the owner of the store came up to me, and he said something like, "What's wrong? I look so distressed." And when he said, "What's wrong?" I just burst into tears because I was so ashamed that these people had stolen these things, right? And it's true, I hadn't stolen them, and I hadn't said, "Hey, let's steal a bunch of stuff from this concession store." But somehow, I was deeply ashamed about what was done, and I felt terribly guilty. I felt really terribly guilty. And I never understood that. Later, as an adult, I thought, well, as a teenager, I thought, why did I tell on my friends? What a snitch I was, what a little snitch, But as an adult, I was just baffled by it. Why didn't I just walk out of the store? I didn't have to have the stolen Cokes or something, but I why did I confess to a crime I didn't commit? And that's been a mystery for a long time. But I think we're often confessing to a crime we don't commit. As we've been watching all of this stuff unfold, I think our reactions are complicated. I think their reactions are complicated. I think for a long time, I must confess that when I've read the papers online in the morning, I find our president to be deeply distressing. And I've had a lot of I've responded with a lot of anger. I mean, I have. I do a lot of zazen, but sometimes I get angry at people, and I've had a lot of anger over President Trump and over his followers, and it sort of reached a crescendo the other day when they attacked the Capitol. And I've been sitting with this issue of my anger a lot. And I've wondered if my anger doesn't have something to do with also with a kind of sense of shame or guilt about what's happened. you know, I am an American, and those people are Americans, and I guess I feel guilty in that way. I feel guilty in that way, but I think there's more to it than that. You know, I think some of my guilt comes from feeling from feeling responsible, even though I didn't storm the Capitol. I'm not a proud boy, as a matter of fact. I believe in nonviolence. I'm a vegetarian. You know, I'm almost a communist. You know, I'm almost everything these people aren't. So why would I feel guilt or shame over something they've done? And I think actually that when we look at our anger, the anger we feel about all this, some of it's natural and healthy anger, right? It's just like, what is wrong with these people? But on the other hand, you know, I think it's entangled with a lot of shame and guilt. And, you know, the truth is, I think people in general would rather feel guilty and complicit and ashamed than feeling helpless, you know. You know, I've been interested in how often, like children who are abused, children who are abused by their parents, generally feel guilty about it. You know, they feel they deserve it in some way. And it takes many years of therapy to overcome that sense of guilt, you know. And you can say, well, you were the victim. Why do you feel guilty? And, you know, some of it is that children who are punished feel they must be deserving of it in some way. And I think some of it is also just that the final fear, you know, is not having control of helplessness. So I would like to suggest that we have been carrying a lot around with us, and that even though we might not be aware of it, I think we all might feel a certain kind of shame or guilt, even if, and in fact, sometimes I feel that the people who are screaming the loudest have the most guilt and the most shame. And it's possible that I'm not describing you. Right? Maybe I'm just describing my own particular psychology. But I think if we look at our own emotional turmoil, it's pretty complicated. And I think under the anger is a kind of shame. And I think it's really shame, kind of shame of not of our helplessness. And I think that's very human. I think we would rather be ashamed and feel guilty than admitting to ourselves that we don't have control over this situation. You know, so this is a koan about Linji. We're part of Linji tradition, Rinzai. And Linji, in this story, Linji and Wang Bo were friends and they studied together for more than 40 years. Until Wang Bo died, Obaku. But here, Linji has just begun to study with Wang Bo. And he goes to see Wang Bo, and Wang Bo immediately hit him. And, you know, if you know anything about Zen, this was a style in Zen practice. You know, sometimes a teacher would just hit you. Now, I definitely disapprove of this, and if you have been to Murray Grove, you know that I don't hit anybody, and I wouldn't ever, I don't believe that this is an approach to teaching that should be used anymore. But all the same, Wang Bo did it, and when Wang Bo hit him, he did it three times. So what Linji went in and said, you know, what's the question is, what's the essential great meaning of the Buddha teaching? Bam. And second time, what's the essential great meaning of the of the Buddha's teaching? Bam. Third time, bam. And, you know, Linji leaves there and he has the same reaction I would have and probably you would have. He feels like he deserved it. It's like, I must deserve that, you know? I think that's very important. You know, I must deserve this. You know, I'm a bad person. You know, he wouldn't be hitting me if I didn't deserve it, right? And so, you know, he goes three times to see Wangbo, and then he's so discouraged that he goes to see another teacher. And I think, you know, the last couple of years, we've all been getting blows, you know, from life. And I do think that these things weigh on us more than we realize, because, you know, we're like Lin Ji. You know, we're going forward with our lives and we have this desire to wake up and we have noble intentions. And we go in to see the teacher and the authority hits us. Life hits us. And probably have, I would say, the same reaction that Lin Ji had. This, I must deserve this. Now, it's absurd in a certain way to feel this way, right? So, you know, you turn on the TV and there are these yahoos, you know, basically running around the Congress building with Confederate flags. And of course we say those guys are idiots, they're criminals, lock them up, and so on. But the experience is so unpleasant and it's so painful to see in a certain way, right? We come away, I think, saying, those people are terrible, blah, blah, blah. But actually, I think on some level, it's a blow. It's a blow to us. And, you know, I have actually was talking to a friend of mine, another friend of mine, and she said last Wednesday, all she and her husband could do was sit and watch the television all day long. Right? All she was left like glued to the TV. She could not get away. And you know, and I think part of her, the day after, she was really like down, really depressed, really low affect, you know. And you could say, well, anybody would be depressed by such an awful spectacle, but actually that's not true. Why, you know, she didn't storm the Capitol building. You know, she didn't run around with a Confederate flag. Why would she feel guilty, culpable? Why would she feel like, you know, see, I think if we all are a little ashamed, and not because we're Americans or something like that. I think this is coming from a deeper place. You know, I think rather than admit that we can't control things, we take responsibility for them. You know, during the Great Depression, if you know anything about the Great Depression, in 1929, the United States economy completely collapsed. It was vastly worse than anything that has happened here in our time, even though what's happened has been terrible. I have friends who have lost their jobs or had spouses who have lost their jobs. But in 1929, something like 25 to 30% of all men were out of work. And I remember reading this study by these sociologists who interviewed these guys, and they said they were all deeply ashamed that they were out of work. They all felt responsible for the collapse of their economy, even though they had nothing, you know, they were just victims of this. But again, people would rather feel guilty than feel helpless. So I think Lin Ji probably felt guilty and helpless, you know. And I think we probably carry some of that with us as well. You know, that's just a kind of human shame at seeing people behave so badly. But I also think we internalize it as somehow ours. But I actually think this is an illusion we need to cut through. It's like an illusion we need to cut through. And the way to cut through it is to realize that we're not helpless. You know, not being helpless doesn't mean getting mad at them, you know, not being helpless doesn't mean, it doesn't only mean basically getting involved in civic affairs or sending money to Nancy Pelosi's reelection fund or something like that. You know, I think there's a way of dealing with this that's deeper than that. You know, and that's what, in a way, what this koan is all about. Linji receives three blows from his teacher, and I think he says, I'm responsible for this. I'm at fault, right? And he goes to see the second teacher, Dayu. And Dayu says, where have you come from? And Linji says, from Wangbo. He says, what did Wangbo say? And Linji tells him, and Wangbo says, and Dayu says, Wangbo was so kind, and you still ask if you've committed some fault, right? So you still haven't gotten free from this, right? You're still carrying this around with you. You still feel guilty. You still feel like you deserved. My friend yesterday, my friend that I spoke with, who said she watched television for 6 hours, said, I can't believe this is happening. I can't believe this is happening. You know, this can't be happening to me. So, you know, what did Linji discover? What did Linji discover? You know, I think coming to the Sesshin was a very good idea for all of us, you know. Because, you know, we've just done the first day of Sesshin, we're in the first morning of Sesshin. But, you know, I would guess that probably already you feel a little better. You know, I would guess that you already feel like you've been released a little bit, you know, maybe you've been carrying around, without even knowing it, a feeling of it's like tightness or pressure. And, you know, getting up to sit, watching the breath, entering deep mushin, or working with your koan, I would bet you begin to feel better. And, you know, if we keep doing this for a few days, I would say that I think what's going to happen is that there will be, it's like you're going to let all that go, you know, and you're going to enter a state of awareness where you feel grounded, connected. You know, it's like there's a kind of level of like elemental trust. And it's hard to get to a lot of the time, you know. But, you know, after like a couple days of sitting, I think you're going to feel, if you're not feeling very good already, I think you're going to feel like all of this stuff dropping away from you. And you're going to feel this sense of like connection or groundedness. It's like going home. It's like going home. And, you know, sitting in that, in Mushin, you know, is going to gradually lift all of this off your shoulders. And you're going to feel suddenly like you're home, or like you're being hugged, or you're being embraced. I think you'll have I think you're here because you've had those moments in the past and you'll have them again. And this is like the rest, you say this is like the restoration of like this elemental trust in life and in the world. And it's so nourishing, right? So nourishing. And so please enjoy that experience. It's going to happen if you persist in your sitting. At some point, you're going to get to that place. And that's where we can be a lot if we practice Zen. You know, actually, in that place, you know, we see everything very differently. You know, we see everything very differently. You know, what's happening in the world is like actually necessary. In a certain way of thinking, everything is happening because of, you know, from the Buddhist standpoint, because of causes and conditions. So, you know, people are all confused and they're working things out, but there's a principle of cause and effect. Things are not happen in any other way than this way. And, you know, I think when you can find that place of elemental trust, you can step back from all of this and you can be, you can observe it without being caught up in it, without being like feeling guilty or feeling involved, right? And then I think that feeling of like guilt or shame for what's happening goes away. And what it really means is that you're sort of saying, I'm going to give up control because I trust what's happening. I trust it to be good. I trust everything is helping me wake up. Everything is helping me wake up. So, you know, when you are in that place of like elemental trust, grounded in that, in, we say, Buddha nature, you know, we understand things differently. We see that this is all unfolding as it has to unfold. It's all, nothing can be different than what it is. And, you know, we're not actually responsible for all. It's like these are causes and conditions that are following like their own trajectories, right? Their own trajectories. And if somebody asks you for help, please help them. But you know, you have to be in this place of like elemental trust. And if you're in that place, you can act in the world in a very different way. You're no longer like acting from a place of panic or urgency or anxiety. You know, everything you do can become generous and loving because you've gotten rid of that terrible sense of guilt and shame that we carry around with us. You know, I can't stop what's happening. You can't stop what's happening. And actually, there's probably, you know, it's going to work its way out. And your job is to purify yourself, purify your body, heart, and mind, and return to the source, you know, return to the elemental trust that comes when you get closer to your true nature. And this is the best thing you can do under the circumstances, not only for you, but for everybody who knows you. You know, learning to live with, you know, like living from a place of trust isn't easy because it means admitting we're not controlling everything. But we can let go of our control if we live in trust, right? This is like really what Zen is all about. that, you know, we say when we recite the Xin Xin Ming, one with the trusting mind. What does that mean, one with the trusting mind, right? And I say, a lot of times I say, trust the process, trust the process. But what it really means is we're going to this place of like unshakable or elemental trust. And what's gotten in our way is actually the sense of this fear of being out of control, right? The fear of being out of control. And you know, the more we try to maintain control, the farther we get from elemental trust. So, you know, a lot of Zen practice is just letting go. It's like your hands are tightly gripping, you know, the bar, and you're just, it's just like relaxing your grip a little by little by little by little, you know, and you're thinking, if I relax my grip, I'm going to drop, but you're not going to drop. You know, something is going to suspend you, right? Something is going to protect you and take care of you. And this is the essence of Zen practice. This is what we mean by one with the trusting mind. And I would say the trusting mind isn't possible to reach as long as you don't, until you let go of your desire for control. And when you let go of that desire, you also will find like that your shame and your guilt will drop away as well, right? That's what happened to Lin Ji when he went to Dayu. Dayu said, don't you see yet that he, you know, he didn't hit you because you've done anything wrong. You've done nothing wrong. You know, Lin Ji, you have been pursuing awakening. You have worked very hard, you know, but you're still carrying this heavy burden. You still feel like you are responsible for all of this stuff that's happening. And it's undermined your ability to have elemental trust. You know, so you know, basically Lin Ji suddenly realizes that that elemental trust, that hug, is always here. You know, it's always here. It's indestructible. And cannot be disappointed, cannot be undermined, right? And that's the beginning of, that's one of his first Daikensho experiences, deeply experiencing this, you know. You might feel, you know, it's possible. You obviously don't because you're here, which is good. But, you know, there are many people who would feel that they shouldn't come to Sesshin. They owe it to the world to spend 8 hours watching the television and suffering, right? You know, that's very common. Or, you know, how can you go to sit at a time when, you know, the world is burning down? Right? But actually, this is essential for the world, right? This is so important, you know, to get back to that place of elemental trust and to be willing to let go of what's unfolding around you. These are just causes and conditions, right? You didn't attack the Capitol. You didn't run around in your underwear with a Confederate flag, right? You didn't wear a buffalo hat, right? You know, basically. Those are people working out their own karma. You know, they have their own, we can't really judge them because we don't know them, but they're definitely going to have to work out their own karma, maybe with some jail time, right? But, you know, I think a lot of our hatred, if you feel anger or hatred, comes from feeling complicit, feeling involved, feeling guilty. you know, once you realize, look, this guy has to work, this guy, this is his karma working out. I feel sorry for him. You know, he's a deeply confused person. And I think if you can find that place of elemental trust in yourself, it really transforms how you respond to events like this. Because, you know, I think that anger comes from feeling involved, feeling complicit, you know. And I think when we realize, look, this is his karma working itself out, you know, and you're in that place of like elemental trust. You just say, okay, I feel sorry for this guy. He's caused a lot of suffering for people, and he is going to suffer a lot until he gets through all of his confusion. You know, it may take many lifetimes. But that's a kind of liberation. You know, it's a kind of Kensho experience that all of us can have here at this sesshin. And if you've had that Kensho experience, you know, the others are, you know, sure to follow, because it all begins with trust in mind, trust in your true nature. So, you know, for the first couple of days, perhaps, you know, we'll be working on this, no matter what our culture. It's like we've come with all of this stuff, right? We're carrying this heavy load of stuff, you know. And, you know, it's going to take a little time to work through all that. Even if we think, I don't care, it doesn't bother me, you know, you're a human being. It's not possible for it not to affect you. But little by little, you know, it's all going to drop away, and we're going to get back to this place. So you really made a good decision to come here. And, you know, every day you're going to get closer and closer to being with that trusting mind, with your true nature. And that's how the world becomes a better place, in my opinion. Linji asked Wang Bo, what is the true essential great meaning of the Buddhist teachings? Wang Bo immediately hit him. He said, what? You know, this happens so often in Zen that people don't even think about it. They say, oh yeah, in Zen people get hit. Why? Why? What was Wang Bo trying to accomplish? You know, we might say, oh, he thought Linji was unripe, or he thought Linji wasn't trying hard enough, or he wanted to show Linji that he had to be tough. But none of those things are true. Right? None of those things are true. This happened three times. Then Linji left Wang Bo and visited Dayu, who has a different teaching style. Dayu said, where have you come from? Linji said, I've come from Wang Bo. Dayu said, what did Wang Bo say? Linji said, three times I asked about the truly essential great meaning of the Buddhist teaching, and three times I was beaten with a stick. I do not know if I had any fault or not. He's not clear about this yet. Dayu said, he was so kind. He did his utmost for you. You still come and ask if there was any fault or not. And I think what happens is the fault drops away. The sense of guilt and shame and drops away. And Linji was greatly enlightened. It unbind. It's like having the bonds taken off your body, right? It's like being set free. Verse, a nine-colored phoenix, a 1,000-mile colt, a colt that can run 1,000 miles. The wind of reality crosses the pipes. Those are like pipes you blow, like pan pipes. The spiritual works go into action. Coming on directly, the flying lightning is swift. When the clouds of illusion break, the sun is alone. He grabs the tiger's whiskers. Did you see or not? This is a brave and powerful person of great stature. And the great and powerful person is not really me. You know, it's really my true nature, right? This indescribable, indestructible, trusting mind. And, you know, at times, because of events that can seem a million miles away, but, you know, just coming here to Sesshin, you listen to that voice, you listen to that, you trusted your true nature. You know, please continue to trust the process. And not only in this, but in everything we do. You know, we have, all of us carry around this, you know, ridiculous sense of responsibility for things we couldn't control and didn't know. You know, but, you know, basically that's all a kind of, it's like binding ourselves. Something noble and good, something wonderful brought you here, and it's in yourself. And now we're going to return to that. All of us are going to return to that in the days to come. So thank you very much for making such a good effort, and now we're on our way.